I'm coming strong, and I am a player. And that's why this show is called Trash Opinion. Hello, hello, welcome back to Trash Opinions, where we talk all things trash. I'm your host, Trash. Today, we are looking at Survivor China, and I'm really excited to do this one because we are going to be talking about one of my favorite seasons of all time. It's easily top five. It's honestly the season that made me completely fall in love with Survivor. It was originally my favorite season, up until seeing my actual favorite season, which we will get to extremely soon, sooner than you think, actually. But, without any further ado, let's get right into it with Survivor China.
Do you think this year's gonna hold up?
We have to build something.
We have to build something, though, so let's stop being negative. Well, let's start being proactive.
It's only what, like, maybe...
I just give them my opinion, and nobody wants it, so I'm done suggesting. You know, I won't do that no more.
What do you think is the best way? Do you think doing it the same way is the best way?
You need to get everybody's opinion.
I'm asking your opinion.
I agree with you.
I wasn't stating my opinion, I was asking yours.
Yeah, I agree with you. That'll work. There's nothing wrong with that.
But I say the two options, so which one do you think is better, in your opinion?
I'd put two more pieces on, like you said.
I know you want to put two more pieces, but how?
Chicken, what do you think? We do the shelter here instead of back up there.
Whatever y'all guys want to do, I'll do it.
Yeah, but what do you think?
Steve Chicken Morris. Subtitles are required for Chicken. The man did not want to give his opinion on anything. He gets the tiniest bit of pushback on one of his suggestions, and rather than just taking it on the chin, he instead nopes the fuck out of any responsibilities and got voted off because nobody but Dave Cruiser had a relationship with him. Instead of taking over as leader, he just instead decided he didn't want to give any opinions. He probably would have done much better on Faelog. Terrible player, but I would kill to see him back. I don't know how this man was only in his 40s. One of my favorite first boots of all time, to be honest. He's going in hilarious.
First person voted out of Survivor China. Chicken.
Damn!
It's the funnest job ever. I'm a WWE diva, and I wrestle for a living, I compete. I think that it's probably prepared me a great deal more for this game.
I need to chop something up, y'all.
Because there is that competitive nature that you have within the locker room.
Ashley Massaro. Oh, Ashley. I was a huge fan of her in WWE, and seeing her on this season makes me sad knowing what happened to her later in life. R.I.P. Ashley Massaro, you are a fantastic wrestler and person. It's hard for me to talk about her as a Survivor character since the circumstances behind her death are just so awful, but I'm not gonna talk about it here. Just sometimes people are really terrible to good people. We didn't need to lose Ashley Massaro like that. However, taking real life out of this, she was a fairly entertaining Survivor character for as little as she lasted. She got sick and was voted out for fighting with Dave.
At this point, I see my options are this. I could either confront everybody, act like a crazy woman and say, "You see this?" and like make myself look like an idiot. Or I could keep my head together, go to tribal council and tell everyone, like, "Look, Dave is a crazy person."
And I love how she went out calling Dave Derek Zoolander.
I'm voting for Derek Zoolander. Oh, I mean Dave.
Between her snarky quips about Dave and the hilarity of the monks giving her a cloth to cover up her massive cleavage, she belongs in mildly entertaining at least.
Gargo!
I'm a believer in Jesus Christ, and in the Bible it says, "Thou shalt not bow down to any other god." I just couldn't do it. It was emotional for me, because I knew I did the right thing.
Now, I'm not a religious person, but I have a relationship with Jesus Christ, and the only time I'm going to put my face on the floor is for him.
So even though I had said that this was a welcome...
I really didn't want to be disrespectful, but it felt like worship.
Leslie Nice. I can't believe she said I'm not a religious person when she's a Christian radio host. I don't know why she even said that, because a good chunk of her content is religion-related.
It's just hard because I don't have my Bible. I feel like the Lord really gave me a gift with the clue to the hidden immunity idol.
Literally says to other people, my faith is everything. Like, it's fine if that's your life, but at least own it. Regardless, I wish they kept Mom around more, at least longer than John Robert. She becomes adorable and motherly, and the tribe is quite sad when they have to boot her out due to their fears of her forming bonds with the more Christian Zanhu tribe. She's more like a cute mom more than anything. While her Jesus content takes up most of it, she does have a very memorable motherly presence. She's not quite nuts. I'm not gonna just dismiss every pious person as crazy unless you're like Joanna and literally taking it to another level where you don't even want the immunity idol around. Instead, I'm gonna put Leslie in cute, actually.
Down.
Are you kidding me?
Gonna either give him an advantage or make him very vulnerable. Get like a little cat. This is odd.
Grab his dick and twist it!
Dave attacks Aaron and pulls him in!
Dave Cruiser.
Dave, still naked.
This guy is just the definition of baby, I'll change. I swear I'll get therapy. He just cannot handle being challenged.
Nah, I'll do the first one, someone can do the next one. Peachy? Peachy?
And he overreacts over any minor disagreement his tribe has with him. He takes over as leader when he is the last guy who should be leader. He's incredibly patronizing and sets Ashley over the edge, which then leads to her boot out.
Okay. So if you can imagine how he... Let me finish. Let me finish. Mud bricks, yay high, because I'm not stacking mud bricks around a burning fire.
The rain's gonna fall, but you're the leader, and I'm gonna let you do what you want.
How many fires have you built, sweetheart?
But the dude is just out of his mind, and you can see it in his eyes. He's like if a member of the Jackass crew played Survivor. The dude tries so hard to be this provider and leader, but he's just so out there that he doesn't see that absolutely nobody respects him, and they shouldn't.
Bro, right now, get this pile and this pile done.
But where are we going to get it done to?
I said it already this morning at least a couple times.
Is there any kind of dry place in this entire area that we could put it away?
Think outside the box. Critical and analytical thinking really helps.
I just need you to tell me what to do.
I think the funniest part is that he rolls his eyes as if everyone else is nuts and not him. He's the only one stripping down in a physical challenge, and he's the normal one, huh? I love how he's such an ass, and then when someone calls him out on his shit, he goes like, oh, Sharia just became completely unglued. Like one of those, I don't know what I did people who also just antagonize everyone. Dave's a total nutball. It seems like he wants people to like him, just he has no idea how to talk to people without patronizing them. It's kind of hilarious. Underrated pre-merge villain. Dave for sure belongs in Delightfully Crazy.
Being in the leadership role, it's not someplace that I want to be, but leadership is just going for it. I'm ready, but I'm nervous.
Aaron Reisberger. Aaron is kind of there. He gets screwed over by probably the worst swap in the history of swaps. With 7 in one tribe and 5 on the other, we will swap 2 players over that the other tribe chooses. Like, yeah, basically, hey, choose 2 players from the other tribe that you would like to vote off after losing immunity. That being said, Aaron was the leader but didn't do anything, and then he gets voted off. Meh.
We're always working hard, but
did you not hear what came out of my mouth? Did you not hear what came out of my mouth?
Sharia Lloyd. I like Sharia. She calls it as she sees it and isn't afraid to call people out on their shit. Her calling Dave out and then taking his seashells was absolutely hilarious.
You are not running the show up in here. People have ideas too.
Thanks for listening, Sharia.
Same way you do everybody else. You just listen, what? Right? I didn't think so. You want everybody to listen to you, but you don't listen to nobody else. So shut the up talking to me, please. Back up off me.
Would you please?
Back the up off me.
Why would she give me some
back up off me.
Why would she give me some
back up off me.
Why are you not giving me some
back up off me.
She's the only one who would have actually benefited from the swap since Sharia was on the outs on Zanhu. And I feel like they should have voted out John Robert instead at the Sharia boot. And I think Sharia wouldn't have flipped back to the tribe that would have voted her out at the next tribal council anyway. Or not. It worked out for Todd regardless, and it did end up with Jean Robert on the jury, who voted for Todd when I think Sharia most likely would have voted for Courtney. But at least she got to go out roasting Jean Robert. Mildly entertaining.
If you can somehow just keep me here tonight, so I say the thing, I think I know who has your immunity at all, and I know who has mine. And I'll tell you tomorrow if you can keep me around.
And, you know, I acted all interested when Jamie told me that she knew who had the hidden immunity idols and that she was going to tell me. But she made it sound like someone from their tribe has one and someone from our tribe has one. Wow, does she have to catch up. So, she's on the small bike in the back, you know?
Jamie Duggan.
I don't have on a bra.
Well, that's going to make you either very popular.
Oh, Jeff and his love of braless women. I mostly remember Jamie for Courtney's impression of her.
You're doing my impression of Jamie?
Oh, my God. Jeff. We're Team Abercrombie and Fitch. And you guys are all like team, you know, what's left.
And then sometimes it's the one eye you're like real open.
Okay.
And the butt goes out more and more.
It's the visible thinking. That's what gets me. The,
oh
like, the
God.
Visible
she
thought process.
Up and, you see her teeth
and she's like when they send the challenges, she's like, it gets, like, more intense. She's like, I'm ready to go. I'm ready. Yo, when I compete, it's on.
Jamie was, like, a little soft doll with her little boobies and her hot pink bikini, and she bartends at a frat house and she's like, can I order you online? Like, aren't there ads for you in the back of a magazine somewhere? Like, just come on.
She was interesting as the co-leader of the strategical talks on Jean Hu with PG, even if she's five steps behind the majority most of the time. Her taking that giant plaque that is obviously not a hidden immunity idol just because the Chinese writing might say immunity, hilarious.
Jeff, I have a question for you.
Yes.
I found this at camp lying on the floor. So I thought it might be immunity.
The rules of Survivor state that if a hidden immunity idol is played, any votes cast against that person will not count, and the person with the next highest number of votes will be sent home. That's in the case of a hidden immunity idol being played. This, however, is not a hidden immunity idol.
Oh, my gosh.
Any votes cast against Jamie will count. I'll now read the votes.
I love how much of a dodo edit she gets because Jamie is just, she thinks she's so smart and so ahead of everyone else when she very much is not. I felt bad when the entire tribe was laughing at her when she played the plaque, but it was fairly deserved a little bit. Jamie's a silly goose and it's adorable. She's absolutely savage at Final Tribal Council though. I'd put her in queue.
I'm a professional poker player, and one of the strengths that I have is my ability to read players.
I'm just letting you know that I know that you're sharp. I don't know why. My gut feeling tells me you're particularly sharp.
I can't have someone walking around saying, watch out for Todd. You know, I'm saying watch out for Jean Robert now.
Jean Robert Beland. Jean Robert pulls a Marissa Callahan four seasons before Samoa by telling Todd, hey, you're a smart one, I'm on to you, which is some terrible gameplay. Fuck Jean Robert. Jean Robert sucks. He thinks being lazy is a valid strategy and he's totally creepy towards Courtney and Amanda. The only cool thing he does is knowing Mandarin and being able to talk to the local fishermen. At one point I thought, yes, he sucks, but there are also so many hilarious scenes involving Jean Robert. And then I realized, most of those scenes are other people making fun of Jean Robert, and it's usually Courtney.
I'll go first. Snore face Jean Robert just because he annoyed the crap out of me.
All the times Courtney made fun of his snoring is hilarious.
I'm worried for you because when you snore at nighttime, it sounds like someone's choking a walrus.
Alright, Jean Robert snoring goes something like this. Jean Robert, we all know, he's like the D student of our tribe. He won't do anything. He gets up and then instantly has to go lay down because he's so tired.
The whole I'm a bad boy tribal council.
Bad boy, not quite the term I would have perhaps selected. But, you know, it's always interesting to hear people talk about themselves and, like, really bad boy. Bad boy because you play poker or something. Do you have a Harley I don't know about? Like, bad boy, like, who do you think you are, Luke Perry? Like, what do you...
James mocking Jean Robert.
Losing our two strongest warriors.
I thought you were our strongest warrior.
Yeah, you're Jean Robert.
All of his humorous scenes come from other people making fun of just how much he sucks. Jean Robert himself is the absolute worst, and I hope they'd never randomly decide to bring him back for some reason. His conversation with James about getting $1 million on some ass is some of the grossest shit I've heard on the show, and that's including things from the Amazon, mind you.
$1 million is one thing, but if you can get $1 million and some ass?
No.
Come on, James. You know you like that little 70 pounds.
Stick with me, we're gonna do all right.
I cannot for the life of me make out what James is saying, but by his facial expressions, he doesn't look too pleased. Jean Robert can't help himself but be gross. At the reward challenge in episode 6, he just points to Courtney and Amanda's tub and goes, I wouldn't mind hopping in that tub.
I won't lie to you, Frosty and James. That tub looks the most attractive to jump in right now.
When nobody asked, nobody cared, Courtney and Amanda were right to view him as a creep. Jean Robert had so much egg on his face the entire time he was there, and I would be embarrassed by that showing on Survivor China. But he probably wasn't as embarrassed as he was when he got completely owned at poker by Garrett Adelstein. YouTube it. I also love how Todd is able to make him stop talking for the first time all show at Final Tribal Council.
And when you had approached me about blindsiding James, I was like, oh no, he's catching up. So who then becomes the biggest threat to me? You. What do I have to do? Turn it around on you, who is an extremely great strategic player in your daily life. I had to get rid of my biggest strategic threat, who's you.
Guys, congratulations. Well done.
That was a good answer.
I should've.
Is that annoying?
James, I'm confused. What are you laughing at?
Because he shut him up. I know.
Honestly,
I'm in awe. He shut his mouth.
Fuck Jean Robert. He sucks. I hope he stops sucking later in life. He's going and fuck you.
I should be probably, I'm thinking, yeah, probably one of the better guys. But I'm small too, so it's easy, okay, for me, but climbing stuff isn't hard.
Cool.
I'm a parkour and free running performer. He's under control. Parkour basically comes down to what's the best, fastest, most efficient, safest way to get over anything. So if there's a wall, you're going to run up it, jump over it. If there's rails, you're going to vault them, whatever it takes.
There we go, we got it.
Michael Frosty Zernow. Frosty was there. Fun to watch in challenges, for sure. Like, it's cool they had a parkour guy doing obstacle courses and stuff. It felt like watching Ninja Warrior at points. Super cool how he later worked on motion capture for Assassin's Creed, too. His little flirt mance with Courtney was cute, but it never escalated past playful cuddling. Like, he didn't even vote for her at Final Tribal Council. They clearly weren't a thing.
I love my Frosty. I don't really understand my relationship with Frosty. He's young. He's only 20. And he's kind of cute. He just wants to play.
He was just kind of there. He's super quiet, too. But I feel like his challenge prowess alone puts him in Golden Boy.
It's frustrating with this team because they have a slow learning curve, but it's hard to talk to these guys. They keep bumping their heads.
You know, I'm the only one that went to Barnes & Noble before we got out here. I'm the only one that actually went and read a survival handbook.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
I don't eat outside. I don't even like plastic or paper cups. I mean, I don't do nothing outside. This is 4 hours of Barnes & Noble, and I know more than I feel like Crocodile Dundee out here.
James Clement. James is amazing. The dude starts off as so likable, and once he gets more comfortable and talking more, he's just an absolute hoot. I would say he has some of the best lines of the season, but unfortunately he shares a tribe with Courtney Yates. James just always has a funny line for everything, and it is just a delight on this season.
I really would love to see how these people would be without me being here. It would be hilarious, because they honestly would be dead. They'd be on this, in a little boat, swimming, and would die of thirst or hunger and die and just float off in the river.
Everyone always gives him shit for going out with two immunity idols in his bag, and rightfully so. I don't know why James didn't foresee his alliance turning on him exactly where they turned on him. It was literally his last spot where he was vulnerable, or maybe Todd's just that good. I just love James' reactions to things.
The thought of this woman having a blank one, I would not be able to take it. I would pass out in pure joy. My head is... Please let that happen. Please. That would be the best thing ever.
That would be the best one ever. You pull out a big thing. And we're like, what you mean? I don't have no right on that. You just have to have some. Why do I want a D?
Like PG saying she's good at Sudoku during a challenge, or Jean Robert talking too much, him realizing he just got voted out with two idols, or just watching his face when stupid stuff happens in general is just such a joy. His good morning song brings me so much happiness.
Good morning, good morning, I come to say good morning. Good morning to you!
James is fantastic TV, and he was rightfully the fan favorite. James is definitely going in favorite.
Oh my gosh, it's a goat, you guys. I'm not even kidding.
Where?
That black thing right there.
I don't know, I think. Not only does it sound good, you do the face. Eric, stop hitting on the goats. They're a couple.
Eric Huffman. Eric's highlights are making goat noises and being asked if he was still a virgin by Jeff at the reunion.
So it begs the question, Eric, dating Jamie, are you still a virgin? Of course.
I'm not even sure where to put him. He does nothing the entire game. From the edit, it seems like Jamie and PG were the strategic heads of that tribe, so I don't really know what Eric really did. Like, what was his role? I mean, it is cute that him and Jamie got married after the season and that they're still married to this day, but that really has nothing to do with him as a character. He for sure would have won if he got to the end, too. I get that some people probably would like him, and I kinda do, too. I think I could throw him into Golden Boy.
I can't believe I'm on the lazy tribe. Just seeing, like, half the people want to just stand around and talk about the most ridiculous stuff I'd ever heard.
Oh, yeah.
What song?
It don't matter.
I can't connect to the wackiness out here. Like, I mean, I probably do it at home, but I feel, like, so serious.
PG Law.
PG, you good at puzzles?
I'm good at Sudoku.
People are going to hate me for this one. PG is... alright. She's been described as scrappy and it fits. It's why she was popular enough to be chosen for Cambodia. She gets really annoying towards the end of her run though, and I sympathize with the rest of Fei Long for being annoyed with her. As Courtney put it, the world's longest pity party. Despite her hardcore underdog status, PG is only okay. She's honestly extremely overrated in my opinion. She's annoying and entitled, honestly. She complains a lot. But I will admit that the fact that she somehow makes it to the final five despite being on the outs and disliked by the Fei Long tribe the entire time is enough to make her memorable and somewhat rootable. She can at least go into underdog.
Balut is the name we call it. These are chicken fetuses. Go. Denise takes a big chunk of feathers. Denise, you're struggling. Denise puts it down and it comes right back up.
I can't swallow it.
Denise Martin. How the fuck did she last this far? Denise is the most lunch ladiest lunch lady to ever lunch lady. All she needs is a giant mole on her cheek, and she's basically every 90s cartoon lunch lady. Her mullet is just too perfect. Joking about her looks aside, I love Denise, and the fact that she knows karate and can't do a balut to save her life. I do not love the fact that she lied during the reunion about being demoted and throwing her school under the bus. That was really shitty of her, and I feel like she doesn't get enough criticism for that. However, anytime there is an impoverished person on the show, you can't help but root for them. Living paycheck to paycheck sucks, and for that I sympathize with Denise's struggle within the game due to her being in a lower income bracket than the rest of the contestants. She can be adorable and hilarious, but she's always a terrible player. She could have flipped the game on Todd and Amanda, but she didn't. She put herself in a no-win situation at the Final Four. Like, she had to win immunity, and she's not good at immunity challenges. Denise getting to go to the Shaolin Temple and indulge in the most authentic version of martial arts was so cool, since she was a student of karate. I really felt happy for Denise in that moment.
It was cool to see Denise do that karate. I was impressed. I was like, no way. Denise, who knew?
At this point, I could not thank PG enough for picking me for this reward.
All right.
To take that experience back home for the rest of my life, there's no words to really describe that.
However, she was invisible for half of the game, and you could tell the story of the season without ever bringing her up. She still goes an underdog.
Even with no top on, Amanda scores for Phelan.
Amanda Kimmel. She needed the money more than anyone. She couldn't afford a non-blurred out pair of shorts. Listen, I understand there's this fan base for Amanda Kimmel, but I never got it. She's okay. I don't dislike her, but she never left an impression on me. I find her kind of boring and one of the handful of survivors I would dismiss as only popular because they're hot. But I do have to give her credit as a strategical head of the season. And if that's why people like her, that's a more valid reason than my dismissive reason. Or maybe that's just what they tell themselves. Who knows? She's basically invisible for the first half of the season, and she really only starts getting content near the end.
James keeps telling everyone, stay away from the apple, don't eat the apple, this is our Final Four, that's it. I'm not only ready to bite the apple, I am ready to make the whole frickin' pie.
And I think it's because of the rest of the cast is just way more interesting than her. Her weird noises she does with her sister is hilarious, though.
Katrina communicating like wild birds.
Stop that noise.
And so is the had your back exchange between her and Denise. It's so ice cold.
I mean, I was talking to her earlier, and at one point she's like, I got your back. You know, I said, I got your back. And, you know, I hope she votes with me, and I hope she doesn't vote against me.
I said I had your back a while ago. I didn't say that today. I said, you know what I said. You know what
I know. I understand.
Okay.
Like, she gets better towards the end, but she's just such a nothing presence on 75% of the season. She's way too iconic to go into man, though, so I'm going to put her towards the bottom of good player.
Sorry, I am being really irritated. I seem to be, like, sort of marooned in a land of, like, flight attendants and Sunday school teachers. Like, come on. I live in a city. Like, people who live in New York don't act like this. It's like my own private hell. There's, like, exactly the kind of people that, like, I don't like being around, who are all like, everything's always great, isn't it amazing, like, you're doing a really good job with that.
Courtney Yates. From the minute she opens her mouth, all my love for Courtney came rushing back.
I'm a waitress from New York City, dude. What do you think? Do you think I know how to do any of this stuff? You know, like, I'm not trying to be a monk here. Like, I'm tired. I want to go sit back with a lemonade. Like, I don't really want to be, like, bowing 37 times. And we bowed for, like, days. I swear to God, we were there forever.
I'm spiritually drawn to her. She is the funniest character I've ever seen on reality TV. She's witty, has a silver tongue, and talks so fast that it's more than enough shit talks per minute.
I just can't stand all the Brady Bunch antics that go on in this tribe. Aaron stood up this morning, put on his little suit and jacket with his little powwow. Like, some of us haven't even taken our head up off the bamboo yet.
Courtney Yates is my favorite character in Survivor. I don't think anyone will overtop her to queen on her throne. She did not want to be there, expected to be voted off early and get a free vacation to China. Reluctantly, she lasts all the way to the end, verbally roasting everything in sight.
I just don't like him. He's a horrible person. I do get kind of a creep vibe from Jean Robert, and so does Amanda. Neither one of us likes him. I'm sure has noticed that she and I will both go to great pains to not be next to him in the shelter, and yet he will just climb in there, and he's like, I need Amanda and Courtney by my side. You know, they keep me warm. Like, I'm going to keep anyone warm? I weigh 7 pounds. I can't even keep myself warm. Get off of me.
Probably kids can identify with that well.
Do you enjoy that? Do you like kids?
No, I actually hate kids.
Nobody is safe. Not her alliance, not Jeff Probst, not even her own father is immune to just being absolutely incinerated by her Don Rickles tier tongue lashings.
I'm glad you wear a suit.
I'm English. I don't do shorts.
He's English.
Daddy! Where the hell are you?
Courtney's still looking for her father.
Oh, stop it, Probst.
When Snark is backed up by an incredible sense of humor and creative insults, it's absolutely god-tier.
Cave is the best thing I have right now. Cave is my happy place. What I don't like is when everyone and their damn mother decides that they like the cave too. Like, you know, PG comes sidling up in there, and I'm like, I'm gonna kill you. And then you want to start talking about stuff? No, get out of here. Get out. No talking in the cave.
I could listen to her confessionals all day. I'm pretty sure I've watched compilations of her more than anyone else on Survivor. She is called the confessional queen for a reason. Nobody has, or since, given better confessionals than Courtney. I don't think she even has a single bad one. Even the time she says something shitty, she either points out how much of a bitch she is.
She isn't, like, welfare. Uh-uh. You know? Like, she doesn't deserve it just because, you know, she sucks at life. I'm the biggest bitch on the planet.
Or she loops it back around to being amazing.
Todd was going for the Oscar with his performance of My Sister Had a Convenient Miscarriage. And then, of course, Jeff was like, Todd, it looks like you just got some bad news. What happened? And Todd's like, my sister, she was pregnant and she lost the baby. But it happened for like, that is not like the fake Johnny Fairplay, my grandma died. You can almost forgive that. That's funny.
I was also really annoyed by how judgmental the media and Jeff Probst were about how skinny Courtney is.
Anorexic, eating disorder, what's the deal? Answer the question.
Oh, is she anorexic? Like, leave her alone, dude. Jeff Probst asking her that at the reunion was really tacky. I also feel like she was in the complete right for thinking Todd and Amanda were shitty friends. Jean Robert was being so creepy towards her and making her uncomfortable. And all Todd does about it is tell her to deal with it because he needs his vote. Courtney's confessional about disliking Todd and Amanda less than everyone else and that they mistake that for friendship was very much warranted.
I don't feel like I really need to be anybody's friend in this game. I dislike everyone else more than I dislike Todd and Amanda. I think they mistake that for friendship.
I just in general love how Courtney doesn't give a shit about alliances. She just talks to whoever she wants to talk to and starts forming these relationships with members of the opposite tribe and seems to like them more than her own tribe, namely Frosty and Sharia. PG and JB, though, not so much. Her hatred of Jean Robert motivates so many of her best lines.
Everyone, it's Christmas! There's no Jean Robert in the bed!
In general, she's just endlessly quotable. Her vernacular is in my lexicon forever now. Thanks, Courtney. I also love how she wins an individual immunity challenge just by being the best at sitting still and doing nothing.
It's almost like a pageant.
Yeah, great.
I can go on about these little things that she does that I just love. She's just way too good of a character not to put on such a pedestal. She's incredible. She's amazing. I love how she wanted to be the first boon. She almost fucking won. Plus, she won immunity. Did you win immunity? I would absolutely love for Courtney just to have one more season. Please, Courtney, I'm sure you're married with kids now, and your Survivor pass is way behind you, but please, come back for a Survivor Legends season, like, please. also be my best friend. There's no better person to be the first member of Queen.
PG is not my idea of fun. She is annoying as hell. She goes to Denise and is like, we should vote out Todd, da da da. And I'm thinking, bitch, do you expect anybody to get up on your side? Anybody? Good job, because now I hate your guts.
Todd Herzog.
A gay Mormon flight attendant.
Todd's kind of a dick. How he treats Courtney rubbed me the wrong way.
Right now, I need my numbers, and Jean Robert is one of my numbers. Deal with it, bitch.
But he's a very entertaining winner. Him and Amanda run the entire game, and in my opinion, he does a very entertaining job narrating the season. He's smart and snarky with a good sense of humor, even if he can be a total dick. But the way he works people is almost masterful, especially Jean Robert. Like, it's amazing how much he tricks Jean Robert into thinking they're aligned together, especially at Final Tribal Council. Just the way he tricks Jean Robert into voting for him by feeding him a crock of shit was absolutely amazing. He has one of the best Final Tribal Council performances ever, up there with Chris and Gabler. His snark, like Courtney's, is also backed up by a strong sense of humor. Like, how he roasts Leslie in a confessional after Leslie says she trusts him is great.
I told Todd that Seattle is here, so we're gonna team up and use it together. And I trust him.
I can't believe she told me. I'm in shock. I would never tell anybody. What was she thinking?
He benefited for sure this season having tons of shooting-slash-accuracy-based challenges. If there were more strength-based challenges, James and Eric might have been harder to get out of the way. End of the day, though, Todd's a pretty good winner, and I wish he was on Winners at War. I feel like he might have done really well if he was on top of his game, considering everything that's happened to him after his win on Survivor China. Thankfully, he seems to be doing well after his battle with addiction. Seeing him drunk during the recap episode made me a little sad, though. Hindsight made it a little dark. I would love to see him play again. He was really young when he won. He's only 38 now. Todd being one of the most dominant winners ever, despite being a tiny little gay dude, is great. And despite my few gripes with him, he for sure belongs in entertaining. Alright, that was Survivor China, and as you can see, there was only one person going into meh this entire season, which is so rare. I really like this season. It's entertaining from front to back. It's a good introduction to Survivor, but it's also one of the funniest ones to just go back and rewatch. I will forever have this season in a special place in my heart for making me fall in love with the series. I just absolutely loved Courtney from the start. She's my favorite character. Spoiler alert, nobody is going on top of Courtney. I will just say that now. If you expect anyone to go above Courtney, that's not happening. She is the goddamn queen, and I adore her, and I want to be her best friend. She just seems cool. Anyway, thank you for watching. Next, we will go to a season I somehow even like more than China, and that is Micronesia, which might be my favorite season. I go back and forth between that and Heroes vs. Villains, which is also coming up soon. I'm excited for that. But Micronesia is absolutely fucking amazing. Anyway, thank you for watching, and goodbye.